So today's just going to be an introduction to Vim. How many of you guys have heard of Vim? Sweet. What have you heard about Vim?
Solves all your problems.
Solves all your problems? Yeah. Anything else you guys have heard about Vim? Any impressions or?
I think almost everyone I've talked to likes to use Vim.
Oh, sweet.
A lot of people I know like use Vim.
Okay, that's good because I really a lot of people in CS51 start to pick up Emacs because Emacs has slightly better support for a language you're going to use in CS51. And I worry that not enough people at Harvard use Vim, so I really try and do a good job of encouraging Vim usage. But here's sort of a classic XKCD comic, which you guys might find interesting. Have you guys used Nano before at all? Yeah, so there's this comic that says, Nano, real programmers use Emacs. Hey, real programmers use Vim. Well, real programmers use Ed, which is this. You don't want to ever use that. It's really, really old and really bad. And real programmers use a magnetized needle and a steady hand. And you can read the rest, but it's pretty amusing. And the funny thing is at the end, they say, oh yeah, of course, it's an Emacs command to do that. Like good old CX, MC, and Butterfly, which is sort of a jab at Emacs because Emacs is historically known to be a little bit bloated and to have commands for almost anything. So that's just sort of a joke for Emacs. Yeah, so what is Vim? Vim is an advanced programmer's text editor. And I really want to make the distinction between text editor and something like a document processor. So Microsoft Word is known as a document processor. You can set margins, make things bold, make things underline things, strike through things, change font size and whatnot. A text editor does nothing more than just edit text. Literally, you just have characters. There's no sort of styling, sizes, fonts, colors, or anything like that. All you do is just edit text, okay? And this is Vim especially made for programming. And since you see a lot of features built in just for programming. It's designed expressly for efficient text editing. In general, Vim is known to be basically the fastest text editor you can possibly use, compared with any other text editor that's possible. A lot of IDE-like features are not built directly into Vim. So if you've used an IDE and you're used to things like compile and run automatically, or debugging within your IDE, or a whole host of different things. Vim doesn't come with that naturally, but there are a whole host of plugins that you can use to add that sort of functionality to Vim. But Vim by itself just focuses on text editing and does text editing really, really well. And finally, it's really customizable and extensible. And basically, Vim has been around, or VI, which Vim is built upon, has been around for over 40 years and is a very, very deep program. And people will use it for a lifetime and never truly master the program to its fullest. And you will always be continuing learning throughout your life, over the years, always becoming better and better. There's basically no end to what you can learn and how much you can improve with Vim, which is really exciting. You don't want to view it as something scary because you can become very, very proficient in Vim in just a few weeks, but it's sort of like a continual, you can always learn more and do things better and better, which is kind of exciting for me. This is just example of what Vim looks like. This is not mine. You'll see some live demonstrations right now, but it's just an example of what Vim might look like. And so what we're going to do today is we're going to start off with a quick showcase of what Vim can do. I'm just going to basically do some tricks and whatnot for you guys just so you can see why I like Vim so much and why people like Vim so much. And then from there, we'll basically go into a gentle introduction. Well, actually, it'll be a bit fast. An introduction to Vim. I ask you guys to download the text file and to follow along with me if you can. So this is Vim, basically. And right here, I'm using Mac Vim. So if you guys have Macs, you guys may want to consider using Mac Vim because it's a graphical version of Vim, although the regular Vim within your command line works just fine. And I'm just basically going to show you a few random tips and tricks that you can use in Vim to show you why it's so cool. So just a few random things I'm just going to go through. So the first thing is text objects. And there are a few commands around text objects. Now, I'll actually teach you what text objects are in more detail later in this seminar. But for example, if I want to change, like let's say I spelled my name wrong, Barndon Liu, and I want to change it, all I have to do is get my cursor somewhere in my name and type in the command CIW, and it'll delete my whole name, put me in insert mode, and I can type in my name and fix it. Okay. Similarly, if I want to change something inside quotes, there's also a command for that. I can just basically delete things inside quotes. No more having to double click, move your hand over to the mouse, double click, and then type something back in. You can do everything from the keyboard, whatever it is. Or alternatively, let's say I have this image tag inside this anchor tag. Have you guys covered HTML in class yet? Yeah, so maybe I want to delete this tag, which normally what you have to do is you kind of have to use your mouse and sort of carefully highlight exactly what you want to delete and delete it. But in Vim, that's just simply DIT. And you can just delete that just really quickly. And I'll explain to you what all those commands mean and how you use them in a sec. Another example is, for example, I have some code here. And let's say I want to indent the code, but I want to indent the code just within the parentheses. Then I can do something. I can also just indent the code using three commands, using basically right angle bracket, I, B. Okay. Another really cool thing that's really cool about Vim is something called visual block editing. So I don't know if you guys have wanted to just sort of be able to highlight a rectangular block of text in your code sometimes instead of having to do this weird sort of line thing that spans all different lines. So for example, in Vim, you can do that. I can basically highlight rectangles like this, which is pretty cool. But furthermore, I can edit using that functionality. So for example, if I want to give some sort of prefix to all of our names, I can basically highlight a block and then add something. Okay, similarly, I can also highlight this block and choose to delete it. Or maybe I'll highlight this block and change it to D, so we're all doctors, whatever it is. Okay, you can do all those different things. Finally, folding is really cool. A lot of IDEs have this, where you can fold different functions out of view in case you don't want to see them. So for example, suppose I have this bunch of text here, right? I don't really want to see it. I want to keep it out of view because I'm editing something else in the file. I can basically use some, basically fold it up so it's all collapsed. And that way it's sort of out of view and I can edit other things that are on the page. And this is really great. You can fold up functions and whatnot or fold up classes when you're programming to just keep them out of view when you're not editing them. And later when you want to see them, you can open them up. All right, and you can see it just open everything up. Tabs, buffers, and windows. Vim is pretty cool in that normally in a lot of text editors, you can only edit one file at a time, like in Nano, or maybe if you're using Notepad or Gedit. I've actually never used Gedit very much, but at least Notepad++, you can sort of have tabs. But Vim has the concept of tabs, buffers, and windows. So for example, you can open a bunch of new tabs. You can see here at the very top, I have now a bunch of tabs, and I can close them. Furthermore, there's this concept of buffers, which is the idea that once you've opened a file, it sort of stays alive in a buffer. And if you want to navigate to that file really quickly, you can navigate to it really quickly within the buffer as well. And furthermore, within one pane, you can also split your window up into multiple windows. So for example, if I want to split this window up into multiple windows, you can see right here that I can have the same code twice. And I can split more and more and more. And right now, it doesn't look that good because by default, I kind of have the default window size be kind of big, so all the other windows are kind of squashed out. But normally, when I'm on my computer and not on this projector, I can have several panes open at the same time, which is really nice for having multiple files, editing multiple files at the same time. All right, you can also have things like select and replace. And well, we'll actually cover that in the seminar, so I'll just skip that for now. You can also have interact with the command line in all sorts of different ways. So for example, if I have some sort of list here, and I want to sort it. I don't know. Let's add another fruit, grape. And I can basically highlight this using the highlight function and call sort, and it'll just sort it automatically for me. Similarly, if you're going to be editing CSS, which I presume you probably will be doing for your final project, most people do, and maybe you want to keep your CSS organized by sorting them in alphabetical order, you can also highlight them and call sort, and it'll sort them for you. Okay, and these are just some of the examples of the things that Vim can do. Right, and you'll notice that the key thing that I really want to draw your attention to is that I'm doing everything from the keyboard. All right, and if you were able to see where my hands are placed, you'll also see that my hands never really move from the home row. Normally, when you're editing text, you usually have to use a mouse and sort of click around and whatnot, and that sort of movement drags you down and wastes time. Or perhaps you're moving between the home row and the arrow keys and sort of moving back and forth like that, which is a bit cumbersome but also just slows you down. And the thing is, once you get really good at Vim, everything you want to do is done basically without having to move your hands from the home row, which is great. Okay. Hold on, I'm going to open up this application. There we go. Now you can see what commands I'm running down the lower right window. I'm just gonna, so those, all the functionality I just showed you are things that are included by default with Vim, but there are also a number, a huge number of plugins that you can also use to improve your Vim experience. If you download the configuration files that I included, and you, there are instructions on how to install them in the PowerPoint, also in the email I sent out. I have about 40-some plugins installed, or maybe 30-some plugins. And every single one brings additional functionality to Vim that improves your Vim experience. So for example, one of my favorites is something called surround.vim. And that basically allows you to work with sort of surrounding or delimiting characters much more easily. So one example is, I don't know if any of you guys ever code in LaTeX, but LaTeX is a math typesetting language that you use to make really nice looking math. And whenever you want something to look like math, you wrap it in dollar signs. And let's say I'm typing some equation like f equals ma, and I forgot to wrap it in dollar signs. Then I can basically just highlight this and wrap it, and wrap it in dollar signs just like that. Okay. Alternatively, Vim allows you to sort of delete things inside tags and delete tags and whatnot, but Vim by nature doesn't allow you to change tags. Okay, so for example, I have this div tag and I want to upgrade the HTML5 and use the new header tag, then I can do something, I can do change surrounding tag and type in, header, and it'll automatically change that for me. Okay. Similarly, like let's say we have something in parentheses, and I wanted to change that from parentheses into brackets or something like that. I can also change that really easily by typing in C for change, S for surround, parentheses. Oh, I guess I have to type it faster. And parentheses and braces or brackets, and it'll automatically change that for me, which is really nice. Otherwise, normally it's really, really cumbersome. And this is really nice to switch between perhaps single quote and double quote strings or something like that. That's like one example use case. There's a plugin called Fugitive, which integrates with Git. I'm guessing maybe you guys have not used Git that much in CS50, but you'll find yourself using Git more and more and more, especially not only in classes here at Harvard, but also at jobs and whatnot. And normally you have to switch back and forth between the command line and Vim to interact with Git. But there's plugins to integrate with Git from within Vim, and also to give you even additional functionality on top of Git. Okay, there's something called NerdTree, which you can use to explore the file structure from within Vim. So for example, I can open up NerdTree on the right pane, and you can just basically kind of see random files and open, not taxes, don't look at my taxes. But you can sort of look at files and whatnot, open other files, and so on and so forth. And I won't go into these other plugins, so we can basically dive in and start working on Vim, but there are plugins that allow you to comment more easily, plugins that allow you to jump in between files more easily, plugins that give you syntax checking from within Vim, which is really cool, and it basically gives you syntax checking for most languages right out of the box. Things like rainbow parentheses, which is actually really, really cool. Actually, let me just give you an example of that right now. Let's see. Here's some random code that I was writing, and you'll notice that the brackets and parentheses are all sort of colored. And basically, parentheses and brackets of the same color are basically matching, which is kind of nice and sometimes improves your readability of your code. You also have auto-completion, tabular formatting. When you have something that you want to sort of get all the commas to align up, or you want to make a table in your text and you want to sort of get everything to look like a nice table, instead of having to format that manually, there are plugins for you to format that for you, so on and so forth. And there's just the list goes on and on and on. And if you just, I could spend hours exploring all the different Vim plugins that exist, and it's just incredible what is out there. All right. Any questions so far? Sweet. So in that case, we're going to start playing around with some Vim, and I want you guys to basically work with some Vim with me so you can kind of get a feel for it, and I can basically guide you on your first steps on working with Vim, because a lot of people get overwhelmed when they just open Vim up, and sometimes if you don't even know the command to exit, you can't even get out of Vim. But it's not that bad. You just need a few minutes of guidance from someone who has used Vim before, or to read some tutorials online, and you'll be on your way in no time. So here are some instructions to install Vim if you haven't already. You can look at these slides after the presentation if you want to install more things. Also, these are some instructions for installing my configuration files, and you can also follow these instructions later if you haven't already. Okay, so if you guys could go to this link and download a text file, this link will take you to this text file which I would like you to download and open up in Vim. And basically, there are a bunch of exercises and whatnot in there that you can follow around with me and just, you know, start getting some practice with some of the basic operations in Vim. All right, good? Sweet. So while you're opening that up, I'm just going to give a sort of brief intro to two really key principles in Vim editing, which are really important to understand before you dive into Vim. And that's modal editing and operators in motion. So I'll cover modal editing first, and then we'll cover operators in motion in a little bit. Okay. So the first key distinction between Vim and pretty much all other programming text editors of any sort is that Vim is a modal editor. And what that means is that Vim, when you're using Vim, you could be in one of many different modes. There's like normal mode, there's insert mode, there's visual mode, so on and so forth. And the thing is, your keystrokes take on different actions, take on different meaning, depending on what mode you're in. Okay? So just as an example, normal mode is basically the mode you are in when you move around. And so, for example, I would use the key J to move downward. But in insert mode, you use the key J to actually type out J on the screen. And that's why a lot of people get confused, because they're not used to being in different modes all the time. And so they'll be typing things out, and you're used to just having whatever you type just appear on the screen. But in Vim, you maybe just your cursor's moving all over the place because you're typing weird characters, and suddenly you get shifted into insert mode because you type some key that puts you in insert mode, and then text starts flying out. So people get confused because of that. But you just have to keep track of what mode you're in. And if you look at the very bottom toolbar of Vim, there should be an indicator that tells you what mode you're currently in, which should be helpful. Okay. But in general, the three main modes you should know about, there are only probably six or seven or eight modes or so, but you spend most of your time in just three. Okay, the first thing is normal mode. This is where you spend most of your time in, and all keystrokes are logged as some sort of command, and we'll be learning a lot of those commands throughout the day today. The other mode is insert mode, which is where you actually are typing things out, and this insert mode is basically the mode you're usually used to. You type something, and it just comes out on the screen. And visual mode is something where you can do highlighting. So you saw earlier where sometimes I would be highlighting text and manipulating it in different ways. And that's an example of using visual mode. Okay. So we'll start off with just basically the absolute basics you need to survive in Vim. All right. And it's basically these seven commands right here. HJKL are used to navigate around the file. Okay, and they correspond to left, down, up, and right. And you're free to use the arrow keys as well, but we really encourage you to use HJKL as much as possible, because the idea is that while you're editing, you can basically move around the document without having to shift in between the arrow keys and where you're typing, okay, which is really, really nice. You just want to move a few characters over. You don't have to shift your entire hand over, and it's kind of nice to have that. Okay, some Vim experts actually map their arrow keys to other functions because they already have HJKL, and they can use the arrow keys for other functions as well. Okay, so HJ and KL moves you around while you're in normal mode. If you want to go into insert mode and type something, you can press I for insertion mode, and that puts you in insert mode, and you can type something. And you type escape to get from insertion mode back to normal mode. Escape always sends you back to normal mode, no matter what mode you're in. And if you want to leave, you can basically type in colon WQ enter. And the way you can remember this is W stands for write and Q stands for quit, so colon WQ. And colon basically runs a command. And so colon WQ, enter to run the command, basically saves and exits. Okay, so if you open the file up, we'll go through the first exercise together. All right? Okay, so step one is just surviving in Vim. Okay, and you can see here, hopefully you guys all have this open, right? Okay, good. And we just have some simple exercise for you to get used to using these keys. HJKL really seems unintuitive at first, and a lot of people, this is one of the initial sort of blocks that people have about using Vim, is sort of using these keys to navigate around. It's sort of unintuitive, but once you get used to it, it just really integrates into your mind, and people often find themselves, using J and K in Word or also in Chrome, and actually people have created this Chrome plugin called Vimium, which you can use in Chrome or Chromium to navigate through Chrome using your keyboard, using Vim-like shortcuts. So people are very enthusiastic about it. But go ahead and just try and just use HJKL to navigate between the letters, between the numbers. Okay, just so you can sort of get familiar with how these things work. Okay. And once you finish that, you can also go and play around with this maze that I created just for fun. Okay, you can just sort of follow the dotted line and try not to crash into the walls. and try and make it to the end of the maze. So if you use shortcuts in Gmail or any number of different applications, you'll find that J and K, for example, are often used to move up and down, and that's basically, you know, comes from Vim essentially. You know, here you have J and K. And it's really nice because you can move up and down without having to move your hand back and forth from the arrow keys, right? Okay, so now let's try going to insertion mode and getting out of insertion mode. So you notice that right now my cursor is basically a big back black or big box. And when you go into insertion mode, you should find that it turns into a narrow cursor like you're used to. If you're using Vim in the terminal, you may not find this to be the case because the terminal doesn't support this kind of thin cursor. But if you're using Mac Vim or GVim on Windows, then you should find that it turns into a cursor. And that's how you, that's sort of like a really quick visual indicator for you to tell whether you're in visual mode, sorry, normal mode or insertion mode. But let's go ahead and just try editing this line so that, you know, fill it in with your own information, whatever it is. Okay. And we can do that. How you can do that is you can basically move up to the, you know, the end of the blank, type I to get into insertion mode, and you can, you know, you can backspace and type in your name. And when you're done typing, you can press escape to get out of insertion mode. And you can move over here, type insert to delete that. Type escape to get out of insertion mode. And you can type colon W, enter, to save the file. Okay, you can type in colon W just to save the file. You can type in just colon Q to quit without saving. Or you can type in colon WQ to save and quit. But right now we don't want to quit yet, so you can just type in colon W. All right. And maybe that seemed a little inefficient at first, you know, because to move to that spot, you had to type J a bunch of times, maybe L like a bunch of times to get to that spot. And you had to press backspace a bunch of times. And it seemed really inefficient, whereas normally you would probably just move your mouse over there, double click, and start typing. And of course, so the thing is, when you first start with Vim, and you only know these basic commands, yes, it will be a little bit slower. But soon you learn some more powerful commands, which will be able to allow you to move across the document much, much more quickly. And you won't have to have this very cumbersome use of repeating J's and repeating K's and repeating L's and so on and so forth. All right? Any questions so far? All right, solid. So back to the PowerPoint. So now we're just going to introduce a few more commands for advanced movement. So, you know, you experience having to type maybe L a lot or H a lot. And here are some more commands you can use to basically move around more quickly. So supposing that your cursor is at the O over in the sum, and this is some text, okay. Here are five more commands you can use to move across the line more easily. So caret and dollar sign move you to the beginning and the end of the line. And at some point, you know, when you learn regular expressions or other various things, you'll find that these sort of conventions are very common. Caret generally refers to the beginning of the line. Dollar sign usually refers to the end of the line. These are very easy to remember. And similarly, B, E, and W, they're easy to remember as well because B corresponds to back or beginning, E corresponds to the end, it moves to the end of the word, and W corresponds to W, the next word, so W for word. Okay. And if you basically keep typing E or keep typing W, you kind of know that you can jump between words, and it's much faster than just typing L. Okay. Now the next thing is the operator motion model. So this is actually one of the key reasons why Vim can be so powerful. And it's because you can essentially compose different elements into more powerful functions. So generally, you know, when you do anything in Vim, you can think of it as combining an operator with a motion. Okay, so far we've just dealt with motions, right? Like H, J, K, L, they move you around, and then B, E, and W, they also move you around different ways. But we haven't gone yet to be able to delete things or change things or whatnot. And when you combine operators with motions, then you're able to have much more powerful effects. Okay, so for example, if I want to delete two words, then I can use D for the deletion operator, and I can add a 2 to indicate I want to delete two words. And then I include a motion. I could include W to say delete two words. I could use something like J to say delete downward two times and delete two lines below me. Or, you know, I could say D2B to delete backwards twice. And there are even more motions than the one that I've shown here to basically really, really, you know, make your Vim editing much more powerful. Okay, so see, these are some of the most popular or the most common operators, and pretty easy to remember as well. D for delete, C for change. C is basically the exact same thing as change, except that when you use C, you automatically get put into insert mode afterward. So normally when you use deletion, you use it from normal mode, and after you delete something, you stay in normal mode. Okay, but if you want to change something, you can use C to basically delete something and then immediately go into insertion mode so you can start typing and fix something. Y is for yanking. It's basically what Vim's notion of copying. Okay, so for example, if I want to copy the next two words, I can do Y2W or something like that. And V is for highlighting, essentially. Okay, and also what's really cool is if you type an operator twice, it'll act on an entire line. So if I want to delete an entire line, I can type DD to delete the entire line. Or if I want to copy the entire line, I can use YY or something like that. Okay, so let's try this with some more. There's some exercises here for the advanced movement operators as well, and even some other things I'm not going to cover in the PowerPoint today, but you can feel free to look over them later and play around with them and get familiar with them. Okay, so operators and motions. So for example, suppose there are these two words that you just want to delete in the sentence. Okay, then what you'll want to do is you'll want to make sure that your cursor is at the beginning of the first word you want to delete, and you can type in D2W. And it'll just delete those two words for you, okay? And using this exact command, D2W, may seem a bit cumbersome and pointless, but it's just supposed to express the idea that you can compose these different things. And also, just in case you do happen to be in a situation, then you can end up using DW or D2W, which I do use occasionally. Okay, DD and CC I use much more often because you can act on entire lines. So for example, let's say I have this random list here, and you know, maybe I want to just delete, you know, the line that says Huskies because that doesn't fit, just because. And I don't want to go into insertion mode afterwards. I just want to delete it. In which case, I could just type DD, and I'll just delete the entire line. Okay. But let's say now there's this other line that I want to delete, but I also want to fix it and rewrite it. Okay. In which case, I'll type something like CC, and that deletes the entire line, but puts me in insertion mode, as you can see, and I can fix it from there. And there are many, many different ways you can combine operators and motions. And as you use Vim more and more, you'll learn more about different ways you can use these commands, and you'll just become better and better. Awesome. Now, here are just some other assorted commands that also are very, very commonly used and also will help you become better at Vim. So for example, we talked about lowercase v for visual highlighting. But you can also use uppercase V for visual line highlighting, so that way you can highlight entire lines at a time much more easily. All right. You can use O when you're in normal mode to basically insert a new line below the line you're currently on and put you into insertion mode to start typing. You can use lowercase x to delete the character that's currently under your cursor. You can also use U to undo, which is kind of nice. And you can use capital A to append to the end of the current line. So for perhaps your cursor is somewhere on the line, you want to add to the end of the line, then you can type capital A to immediately jump to the end of the line and go into insertion mode so you can add to the end of the line. Okay? So I think I have a few more exercises for that, which we can try out. Actually, no, I don't. Not for those. But we have some more exercises for the next section, which we'll see. But these you can just sort of try out yourself as well. For example, if you just type in regular V, you'll get sort of regular highlighting that you're used to, like this. Okay? If you type in capital V, you can get full line highlighting like that. O you can use basically, if I type in O, it basically will just open a new line for me, which is kind of nice. X I can use to delete characters under the cursor, so if I press X a bunch of times, delete stuff, but I can press U to basically undo all that. Okay, A, I can type in A to immediately go to the end of the line. And I also include a few other nice keys that you can also look after the presentation, just to learn some other commands. Okay.
What's replacement about?
So replacement is also really cool. And basically, if you go somewhere, people don't really use it that much anymore these days, but have you guys ever seen in Microsoft Word, if you type insert, you suddenly go into this weird mode where every single character you type basically replaces the next character? I don't know if you guys ever seen that. So it's basically similar to that. So for example, if I want to overwrite what I currently have for some reason, they can type in capital R, and I'll now be in replace mode. You can see in the bottom left. And if I type stuff, it just basically just overwrites things. Okay, and I can also backspace, which is kind of cool. and I can just undo that. I don't use that very often, but every now and then it becomes handy. Okay. Sweet. So let's talk about text objects, which is one of my favorite things about Vim, honestly. So text objects are basically this notion of defining some sort of chunk of text inside your text file. Okay. And you know, I'll just basically go over these keys first, and I'll give you some demonstrations for you to more fully understand what that means. Okay, so W refers to a word, and like a text object as a word, so just some word as you normally know it. And if there's punctuation, you know, that's next to the word, then you know, it won't include the punctuation generally. But for example, if you want to include the punctuation for some reason, or you're doing something that's not English, and you just basically just want to include all the characters that are delimited by whitespace, you can also use capital W to get everything that's surrounded by whitespace. You can also use parentheses to basically refer to a text object that's inside a set of parentheses. You can do the same thing with square brackets, angle brackets, braces, and quotes as well. And finally, you can also use T to refer to some tag. Okay. So let me show you how that actually plays out. Okay. So for example, let's say I, you know, this is basically my very first example in my showcase, right? There's some word in here in this sentence which I want to change. Okay. And we talked about W being used as a motion, but you can also use it as a text object like such. So for example, one way I could change you know, Barack's name, or you know, basically delete and modify, is I could go to the beginning of this word and type in C for change and W for word, and now delete the entire word and put me into insertion mode. Okay. But it's very annoying for me to have to go to the beginning of the word all the time. That's really annoying. I don't want to have to do that. So I can actually be anywhere inside his name and type in CIW. And the I stands for inner. So if I type in CIW, it stands for change inner word, or in other words, change the word I'm currently inside. And it'll give me the exact same effect. Okay? I can fix that. Okay, similarly, perhaps, you know, I have some case like this, where for some reason there are some delimiters or something like that, and or there's some punctuation, they want to delete the whole thing. If I just type in CIW, it will delete what's inside these delimiters. Okay. But you know, I want to get the whole thing that's surrounded by white space, so I can use CI capital W to delete the whole thing. Type in 5, you know. Do the same thing and type in 6. Okay. Similarly, if I want to change something that's inside the parentheses, you know, I can type in CI parentheses to basically delete everything that's inside the parentheses, and then fill in whatever I want to do, okay, like int argc, whatever you want to do. And similarly, same thing with quotes. I can fix text that's inside of quotes, and I can also change things that are inside of tags, okay? Does that make sense? So everything you can do is, you know, you don't have to use C. You can also use D if you want to delete what's inside these tags. So if I want to delete the text, I can inside the tag, I can use DIT, delete that tag. I can also use VIT to basically highlight what's inside the tag, for example. The other thing is, instead of using I in the middle, you can also use A, which stands for all. So if you use I, it will basically, you know, refer to a text object or use a text object that's contained inside the delimiters. But if you use A, it will include that text as well as the delimiter itself. So for example, if I want to highlight this text and the surrounding tag, I can use VAT. So V for visual or highlight, A for all, and then T for the tag. I can do something like that as well. Okay. Maybe I want to delete, you know, this Google.com with the quotes around it as well. And I can use something like DA quote to delete all of that, for example. Okay? Any questions so far? So I realize that, you know, I'm basically dumping on you a lot of different commands all at once. And this is basically just because I want to expose you to all the different commands that and give you a sort of introduction to what these commands do in Vim. But what's going to happen is when you go back, you're going to have to sort of slowly pick up these commands one by one. You know, you don't want to overwhelm yourself, because that's just too overwhelming. if you want to pick up Vim, what you have to really do is, you know, start with the first basic set, and I've sort of broken up into lessons for you that make it easier for you to follow, and just try and just master each sort of set of commands one by one, one at a time. Okay, it's too much to do everything at once. So what you should do when you go back is, you know, go to the first lesson, which is just HJKL, insertion mode, escape into normal mode, and saving and quitting. And that's all you really need to survive in Vim, and just get really, really comfortable with that. And once you're, you know, after a few days, once you're very comfortable with that, you should move on to the more advanced motion operators, the more advanced motions, and onto the operators, and so on and so forth. Okay? And so I know I'm going through a lot, but I just want to get you exposed to a lot of different things. But in case you're up for the challenge, I can sort of show you how you can put this all together using most of what we just learned today. And you can also follow along if you want. But I just created some random exercise. You know, suppose we have some sort of roster like this, where you have these blocks with people's names, houses, years, and concentrations and whatnot. And you want to add a new entry for yourself. Okay. So what's the best way for you to do this? Well, let's do it like this. Why don't we first highlight this block? Okay. So we can select it, and then we can press Y to yank it. So now we can just basically copy and paste this template first without having to just rewrite the whole thing from scratch. Okay, now I'll, you know, press J down a bunch of times to go down, and I'll press P to paste it. Okay, maybe I'll add an extra line for space. All right, and let's say now I want to, you know, change your name to someone. Okay, then I can go here and type in C2W, like before, to change that name. Bob Jones, who knows. Maybe if I want to change the house, I can go into the middle here, type in CIW, the Cabot House. Here may be an example of where you may want to consider using the replacement mode to change your graduation year if you want. You know, or you can also just use CIW as well. Doesn't matter. Maybe you want to change your major. Okay. And that's what you do. Okay. And maybe I will just give you a demonstration of what I might do if you continue to learn more advanced commands in Vim, because we're just barely scratching the surface here, and I could basically do this sort of editing even faster than I have shown you here, because I know more commands I haven't even gotten a chance to show you for today. So for example, if I just want to highlight this, I can do it like that, move down. I've added my own plugin. Oops. I've added my own mapping to basically automatically highlight stuff for me. And I can, I don't know. I mean, basically just trying to show you that you can really, really start editing things more quickly, especially when you have all these different fields. And normally what you might be doing is sort of clicking and highlighting and, you know, then typing. You can really just do everything all at once. Copy and pasting, moving up and down between the file, you know, just deleting stuff, formatting stuff. All this can be done much, much more quickly in Vim. Okay? So just one last little thing, which I think may be really nice, which is find and replace. So also if you use Gmail shortcuts, then you also know that if you type in /, it sends you to the search box. And in a lot of different applications in general, you'll find that /, or maybe /, or something having to do with /, will put you into some sort of search mode. Okay, and that also basically comes from Vim, essentially, because the slash operator, or the slash command, basically allows you to input some sort of string that you can use to search within a document. Okay, you can use N and capital N to go between the next and the previous occurrence. And you can also use something similar to basically search and replace from within your document. Okay, so I'll just basically give you a demonstration of what can be done. All right, so maybe if I want to find all instances of the string yank within this document, I can type in /yank, as you can see in the bottom left corner. And when I type enter, it highlights all instances. I can use, you know, basically N to jump back and forth between all those different instances. Okay. And let's suppose I want to, you know, search and replace yank with some random words all throughout the document. Okay, then I can, you know, press colon to basically start typing in some sort of command within Vim. some command that's more sophisticated than just moving around or deleting or something like that. Okay, I will type in the percent sign to basically refer that I want to use a substitution command on the entire document. Type in S for substitution. This comes from Perl, essentially. And you know, this next command is a pretty standard command that you'll find in Perl, in Sed, and in other programming languages that you'll probably start to learn as you do more computer science. And I can basically use slash to type a slash, type in the word I want to find and replace, and then type another slash and type in whatever word I want to replace that word with. And who knows, maybe neon cat. I do that, then you see that everything got replaced. Okay, but you'll notice that there's this word here. Like, for some reason, some of our instances of yank got replaced, but not all. And that's because the way this sort of language has been written, not only in Vim, but in other places, is that when you run a substitution command, it will only substitute the first instance of that word on each line. So if I want to actually substitute all instances of the word on every single line, then I have to do the same thing, but add a G flag at the very end, which stands for global. Okay. And then that will actually substitute all instances. Okay. And once you learn regular expressions, there's actually a CS50 seminar on regular expressions. So if you're curious about regular expressions, you can also you know, take that seminar and learn more. But for example, let's say I have a list of names like this, and I want to rearrange it. So instead of having last name, comma, first name, I want to rearrange it so it says first name, space, last name. And you can usually actually use this command right here to essentially do that for you. So as you can see, there, we start with an S, which means we want to do a find replace. And then I add a flag called backslash V, which is something called this magic flag in Vim, which allows you to do regular expressions more easily. But then from there, we basically match for any single line that has that is of the form, you know, a set of words, comma, space, and a set of words, or set of letters, okay? Backslash W plus just basically means one or more characters. And the parentheses are used to basically capture these groups, okay? So I can refer to them later. As you can see, once we sort of capture two blocks of words that are separated by a comma and a space, then what we want to replace it with is, you know, I use backslash 2 and backslash 1 to refer back to the words that were captured in the actual find command, okay? And so backslash 2 refers to this whatever is contained in the second set of parentheses. Backslash 1 refers to whatever is contained in the first set of parentheses. And basically, as you can see, I'm putting 2 before 1 separated by a space to try and basically move, you know, the first name to before the last name. Okay, does that make sense? And what I can do is I can highlight these first so that I only run this command on these lines. And then I'll type basically just type in this command. You can see that's exactly as desired, okay? And this is, again, this is just barely scratching the surface. And if you go to the regular expression seminar, then I'm sure you'll learn a lot more different things you can do with regular expressions. And this just basically just starts to hint at what you can really do with Vim if you really start to become a master of it. Perhaps you want to refactor something, and you want to find all instances of some function that follows some sort of naming pattern. You want to change the way that's named. You can write some sort of command like this to do that for you. And that's just the sort of flexibility that you can get within Vim. You're just not going to get in other text editors. All right? That basically covers all the things I want to teach you today in today's seminar. But again, I just really want to stress that, you know, if you want to pick up Vim, it is true that there is a slightly higher learning curve in the beginning. In the very beginning, you will be slightly less productive than you probably would be otherwise. But if you stick with it within a few days or a few weeks, depending on how fast you learn, you'll become much, much, much faster. And I wasn't really able to, I tried to give you a demonstration of what Vim is capable of, but I didn't really get a chance to really show you what happens when I normally, you know, for example, in class, I type into my notes with Vim. That's just because I can just work so much faster in Vim than I can with any other program. It's just, it is literally a 2 or 3 times productivity increase in Vim compared with other programs. Not only just with the speed of text editing, but also in the way I can move around the document, in the way I can access other files on my computer and jump in between them, so on and so forth. It's just a really, really huge productivity boost. But when you're learning, you want to make sure you just learn one thing at a time and just try not to overwhelm yourself with too many different commands, because there are a lot of commands and a lot of different shortcuts you can learn in Vim. But just want to pick up a little at a time, and just over the years, you just gradually amass a larger and larger understanding of Vim. Okay? So, you know, if you want to continue to learn more, these are just some of the more advanced topics you can continue to learn about. And even this just barely scratched the surface. Here are some popular plugins you can feel free to check out and Google them and just play around with them if you want to, just see what sort of plugins are out there. And then at the end of this PowerPoint, I include a bunch of links to various resources you can use to learn from. Here are a bunch of different links you can use just to get started with Vim. They have different tutorials and whatnot. And finally, these are some more advanced things you can use to also check out as well. Some screencasts on some more advanced techniques in Vim, and also some different pieces of source code you can look up on GitHub just to look at other people's configuration files or to look at plugins in Vim and so on and so forth. And yeah, that's all I have for you.